भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय अथागत स्मृतिर् अभयो रूपं बलो विहाय सार्थम् इव हरन्तम् आत्मनः रुषाहनात् शिरसि शुद्धेन मुष्टिना सुराधिपो गिरिम् इव वज्रा रंहसा अथागत स्मृतिरभयोरपुं बलो विहाय सार्थम् इव हरन्तमात्मनः उसाहनच्छिरसि जुधेन मुष्टिना सुराधिपो गिरिमिव वज्ररंहसा अथागत स्मृतिरभयो रिपुं बलो विहाय सार्थमिव हरन्तमात्मना रुषाहनच्छिरसि जुधेन मुष्टिना सुराधिपो गिरिमिव वज्ररंहसा विहाय सार्थमिव हरन्तमात्मना शिरसि जुधेन मुष्टिना सुराधिपो गिरिमिव वज्ररंहसा अथागत स्मृतिरभयो रूपं बलो विहाय सार्थमिव हरन्तमात्मना रुषाहनच्छिरसि जुधेन मुष्टिना सुराधिपो गिरिमिव वज्ररंहसा अथागत स्मृतिरभयो रिपुं बलो विहाय सार्थमिव हरन्तमात्मना रुषाहनच्छिरसि जुधेन मुष्टिना सुराधिपो गिरिमिव वज्ररंहसा लेडीज Then Agata Smritihi,
remembering himself.
Abhayaha,
without fear.
Vipum,
his enemy.
Balaha,
Lord Balaram.
Vihaya,
leaving aside.
Sartam,
the company.
Eva,
indeed.
Harantam,
kidnapping.
Atmanaha,
himself.
Rusha,
angrily.
Ohanat,
he struck.
Shirasi,
upon the head.
Dridhena,
hard.
Mushtina,
with his fist.
Sura Adhipaha,
the king of the demigods.
Indra,
Girim,
a mountain.
Iva,
just as.
Vajra,
of his thunderbolt weapon.
Ranghasa,
with the swiftness.
Remembering the actual situation, the fearless Balaram understood that the demon was trying to kidnap him and take him away from his companions. The Lord then became furious and struck the demon's head with his hard fist, just as Indra, the king of the demigods, strikes a mountain with his thunderbolt weapon. Purport. Lord Balaram's powerful fist came crashing down upon the demon's head, just as a huge lightning bolt comes crashing into a mountain, cracking its stone surface into pieces. The words Vihaya Sartam Iva may also be divided Vihaya Sa Artam Iva, meaning that the demon was flying in the sky on the cosmic path, Vihayas, with the purpose of carrying off Balaram, who was his Artam, or object of pursuit.
Om Ajnana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Miditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupakada Mayam Tathati Shapatantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Pitamstam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhau Dina Bandhau Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tata Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Atagata Smitir Payor Pumbalo Vihaya Sartam Ivaharantam Atmanaha Rusahanach Shirasi Dridhena Mushtina Suradhipo Girim Iva Vajra Ranghasa.
Atagata Smriti, playing like an ordinary human being, Lord Balaram seemed to have forgotten his position and become anxious. But very quickly, Atagata Smriti, Agata Smriti means he regained his memory. In the Bhagavad Gita also, Smritir Labdha, Arjuna says, Nashta Moha Smritir Labdha, Tvat Prasada Maya Chuta, Stitosmi Gata Sandeha, Karushe Vachanam Tava. My dear Arjuna, my dear Krishna, by your mercy, I've regained my memory, and so my illusion is gone. I'm situated in my constitutional position, and therefore I'm ready to do what you say. For Arjuna to be forgetful of his position was unnatural, because he was a devotee of the Lord. But by the influence of Yoga Maya, he forgot, he became sentimental and reluctant to perform his prescribed duty. By Krishna's arrangement so that this Bhagavad Gita would be spoken. And after hearing from Krishna, then Smriti Labdha, he remembered his everything and was ready to go. So here also, Lord Balaram, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, also seemed to forget his constitutional position. He's the strongest of the strong, but it seemed that he was, for a moment, in anxiety what to do. But now he was freed from any doubt, fearless, and therefore ready to take pleasure in smashing the demon's head with his fist. So ahata sapadi vishirnamashtako mukhadvaman rutiram asmito suraha maharavam vyasur apatat samirayan gyurir yata magavata ayudhataha. Thus smashed by Balaram's fist, Pralamba's head immediately cracked open. The demon vomited blood from his mouth and lost all consciousness. And then, with a great noise, he fell lifeless on the ground like a mountain devastated by Indra. Drishtva pralambam nihatam balena balashalina gopasu vismita asan sadhu sadviti varanaha. The cowherd boys were most astonished to see how the powerful Balaram had killed the demon Pralamba, and they exclaimed, "Excellent, excellent.
Sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu. Good job." Ashisho bigrananthastam prashashamus tadarhanam prejagatam ibalingya prema vivvalacheta saha. They offered Balaram profuse benedictions and then glorified him who deserves all glorification. Their minds overwhelmed with ecstatic love, they embraced him as if he had come back from the dead. Ashisha Abhigrananta. The cowherd boys offered their blessings to Lord Balaram. In the normal way of things in this world, we pray to God for his blessings. But in the spiritual world, the devotees offer God their blessings. And God feels fortunate to be blessed by his devotees. Ashisho bigrinantastam prashashang shush tadarhanam. He deserved the glorification also. He was worthy of being glorified. And the coward boys were glorifying him, prema-vibhala-cheta-saha, because their minds were overwhelmed with love for the Lord. This is the nature of the pure devotees, especially those who are associated with Krishna Balaram. They just love Krishna. They love Lord Balaram. Therefore, they don't think that Krishna is God, Balaram is God. They just think they're so wonderful. And they are prema vibhula cetasaha, mahavyuvalo, bewildered, overwhelmed by love. In the material world, people are also prema vibhula, but it's a different thing. They're overwhelmed by love for their wife, for their children, for their material things. Actually, it's kama vipala, not prema vipala. But the effect is there, overwhelmed, and therefore bewildered. But here, overwhelmed by pure love for Krishna. And pratyagatam ivalingya, they embraced him, pratyagatam, as if he'd come back from the dead. Being carried off by such a formidable demon as Pralamba would certainly mean death, but not for Lord Balaram. And the devotees also, as Lord Balaram was feeling a little anxiety, we can imagine how much anxiety the cowherd boys were feeling. Lord Balaram is being carried off by some other boy, and then the boy turns into an enormous demon. So they were fearing and Balaram may be killed. But now, prajagatam, as if he'd come back from the dead.
Pape pralambe nihate deva parama nirvritaha abhyadvarshan balam malyai shashangshu sadhu sadviti.
The sinful Pralamba having been killed, the demigods felt extremely happy, and they showered flower garlands upon Lord Balaram and praised the excellence of his deed. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 18th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Balaram Slays the Demon Pralamba. So the demigods also were offering their praise. It doesn't say blessings, but they showered flowers upon the Lord, and they were extremely happy. Indrari vyakulam lokam mridiyanti yuge yuge. The Lord appears in age after age to dispatch the enemies of the demigods headed by Lord Indra. And so the demigods become happy. Stane rishikesha tavapravritya. What is that? Anurajyatecha. Praharshayatya. Seeing the universal form of the Lord, the demigods were all very happy. Everyone was happy, especially the demigods. Parishyajyatecha. They were, they were intensely happy. But the demons were not very happy. They were scattering in all directions. When the sun rises, then the honest people become happy, but the thieves are not very happy because they do their business only at night. Of course, that's the general idea. These days, any time of day is good. Oh, Pape Pulambe. But these are the devas. The devas, when the Lord performs wonderful pastimes, the devas are all pleased or ecstatic, actually. They're also so appreciative of the wonderful pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. Only the demons, understandably, are not very happy. But they're also benefited. When Pralamba gets smashed and vomits blood and his head cracks in two, it means he's becoming eligible for liberation. Not eligible, he attains liberation. So even those who are enemies of the Lord are fortunate by the grace of the Lord. Questions, comments? Wherever it goes.
Thank you, Maharaj. I don't remember exactly what it was saying there in the purport, but Srila Prabhupada was saying, or in the purport it was saying that that the demon was flying or something. I wasn't sure. Or was he on the ground?
Why? Go back. It's a question of how you divided some Sanskrit words there. Vihayasartam eva. So
Vihayasartam means leaving aside Vihaya kama nyasarvan, leaving aside all lusty desires. So Vihayasartam, leaving aside the company of the other boys. But it's also can be divided. Vihayasa artam eva. That's Sandhi. You can play and read it. Short A, long A, all of these readings are possible. So Vihayasa artam eva, meaning that the demon was flying in the sky.
Did this happen within the sight of the cowherd boys, or did he go so far away that they didn't actually see Balaram kill him?
Did they see the deed? I don't know. But the demon was very big. It seems like you wouldn't have missed him. I'll give you a cultural note. This picture of Lord Balaram smashing this big black demon was published on the back cover of Back to Godhead back in the days when devotees were distributing on the streets. So devotees distributing and black men's receiving it. Hey, what's that white guy doing to that brother?
And at that time, too, I'm sure it was real relevant. During that time, because of the civil rights, I'm sure it was really relevant. Maharaj, it says that Pralambasura received liberation, and in demons that come in contact with Krishna or Balaram receive liberation. But is that really a boon? Is that really a good thing? I mean, they're not going to Krishna's planet. They're not participating in loving pastimes, are they?
No, they don't. They attain Sayuja, they merge. But for a demon, that's pretty good. Tanaha dushita kuran sang sardeshu naradhaman kshipamya dusrama shupan asri sheva yonishu asrim yonimapanya mudha janmani mahama prapya vakontya tato yantya maham gatim. The normal thing is that those who are dushita, envious, and cruel, are thrown down, the Lord says, I throw them down, kshipami ajashama shubham, into the most inauspicious regions. Asrish veva yonishu, I put them into the wombs of demons. Hasrim yonim apanya, again and again they take birth as demons. Mudha janmani janmani, as foolish animals. Mahama prapya eva kontya, and they can't attain Krishna. Mahama prapya eva kontya tato yanti adamam gatim. They go to the lowest regions of existence again and again. So, on the contrary, to get liberation, that's pretty good. Yes?
Hi, Maharaj. But in Krishna's pastimes, Krishna the Leela, just like Putana, although we generally say she got liberation, but she actually became like a nurse.
Or yeah, something. She attained the position of Krishna's mother. So that's possible. Sometimes the Lord is so merciful, he'll give personal liberation.
But in general, the demons that are in Krishna's Leela, don't they also... I mean, on the Battle of Kurukshetra, in different situations, we say they get liberation, but if it's a specific demon like Pralambasura, are they all special, like Mother, like Putana, or not?
Well, they're all special, because the ordinary demons just get, you know, trees dropped on them, or tsunamis wiping them away. But what destination they get, that's up to Krishna's decision. Nothing's automatic. Everything's up to Krishna.
So it's stated that Lord Krishna knew that Palamba was a demon, but it seems like Balaram didn't know. Was this because he was covered by Yogamaya?
This is Krishna's pastime. Krishna himself gets absorbed in the mood of the Leela. Otherwise, there's no Leela. You know, Krishna's feeling separation from Radharani, but if he's stepping back from the action and taking the position of the director instead of the actor, then there's no emotion. Not a problem, she's coming back. So all of these Leelas involve the Lord being absorbed in the role that he's playing. Like, there's what they call that, method acting? Where the actor trains to become absorbed in the mood of the person that he's playing, so that he's absorbed in the mood of Hamlet, or he's absorbed in the mood of King Lear, or he's absorbed in the mood of whoever it is. He doesn't think, now I'm Kenneth Branagh, or I'm this person, or I'm that person. He thinks, now I'm Hamlet, now I'm... So Lord Balaram or Lord Krishna, when they're in that mood, they don't think, I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I'm the controller of all the three worlds, to knock off this demon is nothing. They think, oh, such a formidable demon, what will I do? Now all the cowherd boys have entered his mouth, now what? So they themselves enter into that mood. Imagine an actor in a film, if he thinks, well, it's just a film, you know, in 2 seconds they're going to say, cut. He can't think like that. He has to think, what am I going to do? They're chasing me, and so on and so on. So Krishna himself, by the influence of Leela Shakti, Yogamaya, he himself becomes absorbed in the action.
Maharaj?
Yes?
That verse in 7th canto, 1st chapter, Prabhupada quotes often, Kama deshat bhayat sneha jata bhakti sharamana abeshuto agam hitta bhava jadgatim gata. So the most important word in that verse was given by Prabhupada and all Acharya, abesha. So he says the demons, those who has abesh towards Krishna, so much so, even Narad Muni wanted that can be liberated. But then in 3rd canto, 2nd chapter, Prabhupada put in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, when demons are killed, why Uddhava is lamenting that I'm not delivered? Then Srila Prabhupada says that when the Sudarshan Chakra cuts off, then those demons who did not appreciate like Shishupal, they merges into the Brahman. Those who appreciate, they go to Vaikuntha, according to Prabhupada. And then those who appreciate and glorify, they went to Golok. I was very happy in that sense.
There's hope for us yet.
When Krishna Balaram kills the demons, it's not the original form of Krishna Balaram, it's the Vasudeva or Sankarshan form. Mm. So, you know, in that cartoon movie, Little Krishna, they show whenever...
No, Krishna, I don't know.
Did you see the thing, Little Krishna?
I saw that it was a cartoon. I saw that Prabhupada didn't like cartoons. I signed off.
Okay, well, in the cartoon, when Little Krishna kills a demon or something, they show you, like, all of a sudden he gets, like... The way you know that he's turning into the Vasudeva form is that he sort of goes like that, and all of a sudden he has, like, a helmet and, like, armor and stuff like that. And that's supposed to give you the idea that he's turning into the Vasudeva form. So how exactly when they...
We were having this discussion in Gainesville yesterday that this is sort of the new Shastra Praman.
How exactly does the Sankarshan form kill the demon? It looks like Balaram, but...
They're integrated. There's no difference. Advaitam achutam anadim anantarupam. It's the same person. But when he manifests himself in such pastimes outside of Vrindavan, then he's Sankarshan. But he's still Balaram, but he's Sankarshan.
But he's in Vrindavan, he's killing the demons.
Yeah, that also. Then he may take the Sankarshan feature for killing the demons.
But how does he feel that that's separate from him? If he's there,
he doesn't feel that it's separate from him. Krishna doesn't get all neurotic, you know. Maybe I've got multiple personality syndrome. For Krishna, it's not a problem. It's totally integral. He switches from one form to another form to another form without mental inconvenience or disparity. He's him. But he just does things in this way, that way, the other way. For him, it's effortless and seamless. That's the word, seamless.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. How did Palambasura get the good fortune of being killed in such a direct way by Lord Balaram?
Good question. I don't know what pious activities he must have performed. The gopis, when Krishna was dancing on the heads of Kaliya, they said, what pious activities did this serpent perform? And Krishna's dancing on his head. Even Brahma couldn't get the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord on his head, although he's praying for it. And this snake has Krishna's impressing his footprints on his head. So what pious activities he must have done. You know which pious activities he did?
In Gaurava Samhita, it's narrated Purana Vasudeva was going his whole pastime and how he entered into the Kubera's garden and he stole some flower.
And at that time, Kubera, not knowing who it is, but he already cursed anybody steals flower from this garden that he meant to worship Shiva, will become a demon. Mm-hmm. But not knowing, he did not know, he just entered there and plucked some flower and then started seeing himself turning into a form of a demon. Mm-hmm. So then Kubera comes and he repented, then he gave blessing. All right, when Balaram comes, Balaram will bless you and mm-hmm. deliver you. Something like this.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I had a question about sometimes non-devotees have a hard time with all these pastimes of killing demons. So what's the best way to explain it to them? They wonder why God is so violent.
Well, you know,
when God kills the demon, then there's like, oh, why would God kill a demon? But when somebody like shoots up a classroom or something, then they're crying for him to be hanged. You know, and Adolf Hitler, they would have wanted him killed 30 times over, and so on. So this is God. He gives people what they deserve. Otherwise, we have a very strange world. You know, the honest people are receive blessings from the government. The thieves and rogues and murderers, the police come and say, well, you pulled that off pretty well. No, it's supposed to be. You do something like that, you're going to get it. That's what we expect from the world. We expect that there will be consequences for evildoers and that there will be good fortune for those who do good. So, but the demons, they'll complain. The world is unfair, bad deeds aren't punished and good deeds aren't rewarded. But then when the demons are rewarded, as they should be, when they're punished, they say, oh, God is... Yes. You can't win with these people.
Don't the demons also represent anarthas within our hearts?
Sometimes it's said that they represent anarthas, but that doesn't mean that they're just abstract principles. They're also persons.
Which one does Pralambasura represent?
We heard the other day it's illicit sex, right? And some other thing, and pride.
Yeah.
Which go together with the former. Profit, fame, and adoration.
And is there any deeper significance?
Which one?
Is there any reason?
See, you know, that's right.
Is there any reason behind Lord Balaram killing this anartha without Krishna?
There's nothing without Krishna. Balaram is Krishna, and Krishna and Balaram are always together. But to overcome these things requires spiritual strength. Or the blessings of the spiritual master. Lord Balaram is sometimes said to represent the bona fide spiritual master. So by the blessings of the bona fide spiritual master or the blessings of Lord Balaram, the reservoir of strength, one can overcome these anarthas. Otherwise, what is that? I'm thinking Bhagavad Gita, the Dushpurin Analinacha, the sex lust is so strong that it's insatiable or unconquerable. Dushpurin Analinacha burns like fire. But Lord Balaram is more powerful. Kamarupain Kontya, Dushpurin Analinacha. So it's very powerful, the enemy of this world, all-conquering enemy of this world. But that enemy can be overcome by the grace of Lord Balaram and the grace of the bona fide spiritual master. Yes?
Maharaj, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita explains everything is controlled by me, just like pearls, you know, stringing a thread, but I mean, somehow or another, you know, I mean, even though he says it, you know, at least myself, you know, is there any point that you really, really get it? I mean, you know, I don't know if you understand, but, I mean, it's like, we try to go this way thinking, you know, we have a family, we have this job, this, and we think that we are the ones that are controlled, but actually it's Krishna. So if it's Krishna is the one that is controlling everything, sometimes, you know, like, I feel like throwing the towel, you know, and say, okay, you know, I surrender, but surrender means, you know, you're in the position of grihastha, you have to work in the material world. At one point, you know,
if at no other point when you're 50, householder life involves working hard and having these encumbrances, and one can be in the transcendental position nonetheless by devotional service. But because the experience of householder life is, I have to work, I have all of these things, and they make spiritual life sometimes a struggle. Therefore, one is recommended not to stay in householder life for all of one's days, but to retire from householder life, except the vanaprastha ashram. And that means Maya loosens up, or our entanglements, or all of these engagements which are accepted in householder life as a necessary prescribed duty are no longer necessary. They're no longer prescribed. One has a right to give these things up at the mature stage. And then one gets a fresh go at it. It's like the brahmacharis, they have no, they don't worry about their job and their social security and their having enough money to pay for Pampers and all of that stuff. So the vanaprastas also, they get like a new lease on life. They don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. They're in the stage of pulling back from all of that. What's the word? Packing it in. And then they can go on to the next stage. So, of course, one shouldn't wait. Now I'm in householder life and I'll become serious when I'm 50. That's not the point. But still, it's a fact that one should be serious in one's householder life, serious about Krishna consciousness, so that at the mature stage, one can gradually withdraw from householder life, accepting the third order, and maybe perhaps fourth order. Mm-hmm.
Last night, the Krishna Samhita of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Pralambasura represents impersonalism like that, which steals away the individual, the sense of individuality.
Mm.
So Pralambasura was taking away Balaram, who is the, I think, sometimes described as the aggregate of all jivas, like that.
Mm.
So.
Nice impression. Someone's looking for you over there.
Maharaj, there was a nice class 4 years back. Sripad Radhanath Maharaj talked about Pralambasura for a few minutes, I remember. He says that sometime why that anartha was so prominent, he said in your life you will see, like he said in Bombay, Prabhupada expressed that I pray every day to the Lord for protecting myself from Maya. But when I see some of my disciples are flirting with Maya, and it scares me. So that time Radhanath Maharaj was saying that sometime some friend will come, I will apply like today's class. Say for an example, okay, today Sripad Jayadeva Maharaj is going to give class. I know, but I'm tired, I'm just going to sleep. So immediately he said, immediately think, Pralambasura is here. He does not want to go towards Krishna. He wants to take away from Krishna. So that time, if I can remember spiritual master Prabhupada, then he can smash that anarthas.
Of course, when Jayadvaita Maharaj gives class, then they think Pralambasura is here.
No!
Ha 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 ha! sadhu, sadhu. Okay, shall we end here? Tell me what to do. I'm not in charge here.
My wife and I have been thrown into the world of disability because our daughter is disabled. And so when I hear about eventually you'll take Varnaprast, I have the experience, I don't know if it'll happen to us, maybe our daughter will pass away before that age and that could happen, but I know there's many people in the world who may not have that opportunity because they could have a dependent, you know, for the rest of their lives that requires a lot of attention. And so it's always hard for me to, I feel I got to figure it out on my own because we're given this format of, you know, go to the temple, chant your rounds, and eventually take Varnaprast. And what if, you know, what if I don't have the opportunity to do that and have no choice but to see Krishna consciousness in taking care of, you know, my disabled child, which could sometimes mean I have to sacrifice that standard format of practice?
Good question. One thing is that we think, not only you, everyone thinks that I have my dependents. My wife is dependent, my children are dependent, my dog is dependent. Everyone's thinking that this person is dependent on me, or these persons are dependent on me. And if I were to leave the scene, what would happen to them? I can't go. But I will go. Voluntarily or involuntarily, I'll leave. And they'll go on. Somehow or other, by Krishna's arrangement, they will go on living. My wife will live if she's meant to live. My children will live, or not, as Krishna desires. It's not dependent on me. But I think that it's all dependent on me. So at some point I have duties, especially in householder life. I have to take the role of the person on whom they depend, and I have to be dependable. That's my duty, my prescribed duty. And at a certain point, my duty changes, and my thoughts change. And now I have to think, if I weren't here, how would they live? Of course, ideally I start to think that way beforehand, and I provide some arrangement that these people will take care of, that those people will take care of, the government will take care of Social Security or insurance or something. I know I'm not going to be here. Either I'll renounce or my life will be taken. One or the other is sure. I'm not going to be here always to take care of whoever it is that needs to be taken care of. So with that in mind, while it's my duty, I think, well, how can I arrange for things to go on as well as possible in my absence? And Prabhupada was thinking, how will things go on in my absence, arranging VBC and giving instructions and doing so many things? Because he knew, I'm not going to be here, and it has to go on. So we have to think at a certain stage that it has to go on without me. And you're picking you're given a sort of extreme example. Others, but for others, they feel also, my wife is so dependent on me. My grandchildren are so dependent on me. But asanga shastrena jridhena jitva, with determination, we have to think somehow that if I weren't here, they would live. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that. His wife was like 17, Vishnupriya. His mother was elderly and widowed. his brother had taken sannyas, so he was the only son. And he left. And he's our example. He's our, he's the person we're following. He left. So we're advised to think that way. I won't be here. There's nothing I can do about it. So either I'll go voluntarily or involuntarily. So I have to think that way. Mm-hmm.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I appreciate your answer. I'm not changing it. And just like in the beginning when there was no temple yet in Mayapur, Prabhupada said, we have to build a temple because the people of the world won't come unless there's something attractive like that.
Hmm.
So, as a preaching endeavor, as we grow as a movement, I mean, this movement's only, what, 45, 50, you know? So we're just starting. It's like our generation. Everything has to be first time now.
Mm-hmm.
So as a whole lot of us are getting older, now Mukhi is talking about some place where people can retire and when they're physically no longer functional or sometimes mentally no longer functional, not to put them into a state place where they have to hear terrible mundane sound vibrations.
Mm.
So as a society, a responsible society, not only are individuals faced with how to do, but part of the preparation, isn't it, that we can organize ourselves to create gradually in time facilities
This is the duty of any society. Generally, that society means the householders, actually. It's the duty of the householders to take care of brahmacharis, vanaprastas, sannyasis. It's their duty. And the society is gone, but especially it means the householders because they're the ones who are supposed to have capital, although sometimes it's reversed. But certainly our responsible members, those who have means or those who have responsibility, have to think about these things. In the future, history may condemn us for making a big show of doing wonderful welfare work for hungry kids so that they can stay in school and lead a good mundane life while we let our own people rot. So I was in an airport one time with Srila Prabhupada. He was leaving and there was some prasadam they gave Prabhupada in the rest. He said, distribute. And the devotee hesitated for a minute, you know, to the other people in the airport. Prabhupada said, charity begins at home. You could distribute to the devotees. So actually charity in the Vedic culture begins with charity to Vaishnavas and Brahmins, not with the poor. A certain sannyasi from Bengal promoted this idea that real welfare work means serving the poor, who are somehow supposed to be identified with Narayan. But according to Vedic culture, real charity begins with serving the Vaishnavas. And householders especially, that's how a householder is purified, by charity. So householders or anyone who has money, means, they should be thinking about these things. And the next generation has to think about these things. We grow up in a culture where youth means enjoy. And you enjoy as a kid, then you go to college, your mom and dad pay for you to have a good time on campus. and then you go on and enjoy the rest of your life. But Vedic culture means responsibility, and it's understood that the, especially the sons, are responsible for the care of their parents. I have one of my students is a Gujarati man, and his main engagement now, apart from being president of two temples, is to take care of his elderly father and mother, who are both devotees. So that's, you know, otherwise he has no family, he's not interested in all of that, but I have to serve my parents. And of course, we chuck all that when it has to do with the material world. We sometimes forfeit that or put that aside for a higher purpose. But when the parents are Vaishnavas, then serving them is a higher purpose. Was it Gopal Bhatta Goswami?
Yes.
Lord Chaitanya instructed him that your job is you stay here and take care of your parents. And when your parents expire, then you come join me. Because that was Vaishnava Seva. So these things have to be, deserve to be understood by the next generation of our devotees, our members, that growing up means not just growing in independence and starting a new family and for sense gratification or for happiness or for whatever it is, but you have this responsibility. And if you don't take it, who will take it for you? Because you're next on the list. Now you're young and you're having a good time, but later you're going to be where they are. And if your values are that we don't care about them, the next generation's value will be we don't care about you. Evam parampara praptam. So even as a matter of self-interest, one should develop and solidify this cultural understanding so that we can have a substantial society in which the Vaishnavas will be properly cared for and honored and respected, and special cases will be taken care of. If you don't do this, then no one can take sannyas because no one's going to take care of their wives. You know, it's just like, well, I can't throw my wife on the street and nobody will take care of her because we have a society where it says, well, too bad, her husband left. Well, yeah, things happen. And there's no concern or arrangement. When Mahaprabhu took sannyas, there was a whole support system there, a cultural support system for taking care of Sachi Devi, taking care of Vishnupriya. So that has to be, these things are infinitely more important than making a show of charity by serving the poor and needy. Now, I'm looking at two things. Two things. One is the clock, and another is a note here that I said that tells me to stop at 8:45. So maybe we'll stop here. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Shri Prabhupada.